And it's been wonderful. I remember Warbirds in Review here 2 years ago. We had the Spitfire. Unfortunately, none of the pilots who ever flew our airplane are still alive.
Right.
But one of the sons flew up from Australia to be part of it because his father flew with that airplane on the first 8th Air Force mission, and it meant so much for him
yeah.
to come all the way from Australia to talk about the experience.
And hopefully he keeps that legacy going with his children and grandchildren.
Absolutely.
How about you, Stu?
Well, you know, keeping this alive is the most important thing. And I'm involved with checking people out in these airplanes and teaching them how to fly, and that's what I do. The generation that flew these airplanes in World War II is fast leaving us. And it's if you get a chance to talk to any of these people, you need to. And get their stories out of them and everything, because it's incredible what they did with these airplanes. These aren't jets. They don't go, you know, 500 miles an hour. And the distances that they had to go and the things that they had to do to make this work is incredible.
Yeah.
So we need to get the younger people involved. And nothing's better than take a kid, put him in this airplane, and take him for a flight. I mean, it makes their day, and it really makes mine.
Thank you. Folks, we've got a little time here. We're going to have a question and answer. We've got experts here. So if you'll raise your hand, they'll bring the mic to you. Try not to shout at us. We're all hard of hearing.
Is it on? Good morning. Three real quick questions. Is the Hellcat flying this week? Is the Mosquito flying this week? And Mr. Dawson, are they selling those T-shirts?
I don't know about the Hellcat.
No on the Hellcat till Sunday.
Okay. Yeah, the Mosquito is going to fly. And the shirts?
Okay.
Hi, for someone who flies a light tailwheel, so Super Cubs, et cetera, what do you think are the right airplanes to start getting experience before you can start flying some of these heavier World War II aircraft?
My recommendation would be Stearman than T-6.
That's what it was designed for.
That's what they were made for.
These both being Navy carrier-based planes, I don't see tail hooks on either of them. Did they have tail hooks?
I can speak to the Hellcat. Yes, it has a tail hook, and if you go around the backside, you'll see it's retracted into the fuselage. It extends electrically out. Maybe we can do a little demonstration afterwards.
Yeah, still functions.
Yeah, g'day. I've been lucky enough to fly the TB Avenger in Australia and display it, and this looks like a small Avenger. Is it very similar to the Grumman Avenger to fly and to land?
Thankfully, no. To land, yeah, it's simple, but maneuverability-wise, they are, a battleship versus a PT boat. They're so different, I think. I don't like the TBM very much. It's really heavy on the controls. This is very light. It feels like what a fighter should feel like, I think.
Well, I was a bomber pilot in World War II flying B-17s. And thank you. Did 25 missions over Germany. And I just like to point out the vast difference between fighter pilots and bomber pilots. And I'd like for you to address, if you would, something about the armament on these two Navy fighters, which of course were from another theater of operations. But it appears that the Hellcat carried nothing but the six 50 caliber machine guns. But the Bearcat apparently it was a fighter / bomber. Is that not correct?
No,
because you
not
apparently
really.
Have some shackles on the outside, on the wings that could carry external bombs, or were those fuel tanks?
I don't think they had any bombers like that. Now, they did carry a fuel tank when they were trying to go somewhere because they don't have much internal fuel. But I don't know of any that were bombers.
Its design role was an interceptor, and it was great for that. I think in Vietnam they tried to make it close air support and it did not do very well at all because that's not what it was designed for. Yeah, the Hellcat really is designed as an air-to-air aircraft. It's got, as you say, the 650 caliber machine guns. So same as a Mustang versus the 20 millimeter cannons that came along later. You look at the Hellcats, they did drop some bombs. That's really not what it was designed for. The Hellcat, the carriers with the Hellcat, they were going to go through, press ahead, and destroy the Japanese Navy. That was their role. And they had SBDs or later TBFs, TBMs, and Hell Divers on those carriers to do the bombing role. And then later Corsairs, they were doing more air-to-ground work, but the Hellcat, it was designed to be up higher.
So yes, sir. I was not a fighter pilot in World War II, but my father was hired by the Navy, and he actually worked in the Nash plant that may have made that engine. He ran it, he supervised the line that made the pistons, and one day he refused a whole batch because they were out of tolerance, and he got called up, and the guy said, what the hell are you doing? And he said, they're not right. They won't fit, and then we're all going to be in trouble. And he said, oh. All right. Well, good job. So, I want to thank you for bringing this. I've never seen one. My dad never got to see one, and he died 5 years ago. So.
Behind that engine, I'm really glad he was kicking the cylinders out if they weren't any good.
Got one here? I was curious about the range of the Hellcat, and how did they navigate in the Pacific with this vast ocean? Was it just dead reckoning? Or do they have any radio aids?
To be honest, I can't find my way around without an iPad, so I have no clue. They have this thing, this map tray in there. You know what a map is? Remember those? They're around like with phone
That's
books and everything like that.
That's what blows out the wind,
isn't it? That's right. I lose them out the window. They have this map tray and a big plotting board, and I cannot imagine navigating around the Pacific, honestly, because not only does everything look the same, but your airfield keeps moving on you. So it must have been very challenging. These guys that went out and flew those missions, and when you read about some of these missions, especially when they're launching towards, they know they're going to come back at night. And most of these pilots, they didn't do night carrier landings. They didn't know how to do that. They were extending these ranges out way beyond where they should, especially with the bombers. I know the SBDs, in a lot of these missions, they came back and they're going to land in the water. They knew that. They're going to go out, they're going to hit the force and then come back and ditch in the water. The Hellcat had a bit of a longer range. And it's you asked about the night fighters earlier. During one of those battles, a Philippine Sea, it was the night fighters that went up and they were finding these aircraft because they're lost all over the ocean and trying to bring them back and, you know, get on any carrier you can. And they did a really, really brave thing at that point. They said, turn on the lights. Ships at night do not turn on the lights because these waters were full of Japanese subs, and that was very dangerous, but they turned on the lights so a lot of these naval aviators could get back on a boat, maybe not their boat, but a boat.
They would brutal ditch beside the boat just to get close.
There's a book called Night Flying Avenger about TBMs flying night missions for sub hunting in the North Atlantic. If you want to read something about navigation and stuff in there, it's a very interesting book, and it's pretty amazing what those guys did by dead reckoning time and plotting courses, getting around, and even to the point of airplanes finding each other once they found a sub and things. It's amazing. And I had a question for the gentleman from Australia that flew the TBM. Was it 337? That's the first airplane I restored. But I was just curious.
Are you next? You're next? Yes, sir.
There's a question from the internet. For those of the folks that are watching around the country and around the world, they're curious about where would you find these airplanes after Oshkosh? Where are they going to be on display? Where can folks see these once they're done?
Well, the Collins, you're on tour. Are you on tour with this airplane, or are you on tour with the other airplanes?
The Hellcat is not on tour regularly with the other aircraft. It will be going from here to Valparaiso, Indiana, and it'll be on display with the Wings and Freedom Tour next week in Valparaiso. And then it will head back to the East Coast, and it will be at some of our New England tour stops, including Worcester.
Okay.
You go to cfdn.org, you can see the schedule for the Wings of Freedom Tour.
Yes, sir. Oh, yes, yes, sir.
Yeah, you guys have been talking about connections with veterans. Have any of you gentlemen had an opportunity to talk to the early Blue Angel pilots who flew both of these aircraft?
I have not. I have not.
That's a shame.
Yes, sir.
Is this on? My name is Robert Roth. Just want to say it's a special week for everybody, but a little bit more special for me. So thanks again for the efforts to get it here.
The lady with the beautiful lady with the straw hat's got it.
This one's for Warren. When your airplane is fixed, completed, and ready to go, where can people see yours?
Hopefully in the sky. But
that's a good answer.
It'll be at the Dakota Territory Air Museum in Minot, North Dakota. Thank you.
Okay, by the way, at the end of the Q&A, the little lady with the pretty hat, she's going to have a little basket, and she's got challenge coins. And for you people that don't know what a challenge coin is, the military people, they come up and ask for the coin. They know you have it, and if you don't have it, you have to buy them a beer. So that's what the challenge coins are for. And they're donated by the Fighters World War II Museum. That's Fagan Fighters Museum, excuse me, in Granite Falls, Minnesota. And while I'm making that point, I'd also like you to mention the fact that you had a phone call there with a question, and that's coming from flyingtv.com. And there, over there in the little blue tent, there's a discount coupon that you can use to get on flyingtv.com. Kyle, how many different flying articles? 700. There's 700 different items that you can look at in there, including all this Warbirds in review. All of them. Was there any more questions? Okay.
Yes.
Go ahead.
A question for you about the Hellcat. What's the operating costs of the Hellcat? What kind of speeds do you use flying in on this and coming over the fence? Can you see the runway, or is it kind of blind?
The operational cost right now is probably somewhere around $300,000 an hour till we pay down the restoration. I don't know. It's it's a lot. I just want to say thanks to Gary out there, Carlos, Chris, some of the crew that restored this aircraft and did such a beautiful job are here.
Yeah, have them stand up. Have them stand up.
If it weren't for these guys and Vince and everyone back in the shop, Jeff and all the team, this airplane wouldn't be here. So it's a big thanks to them. Speed-wise, the airplane can come in pretty slow. It's indicating 80 knots. I think it's actually doing a little faster than 80 knots. That's a nice three-point attitude with that. Cruising, it's showing 175. I think, again, that's slow. It's probably true more around 190, 200. What was the other part of the question? Anything else?
Visibility.
Oh, yeah, it's not bad. Cowl flaps block most of my view, I think. That's the harder part.
Being able to see is overrated.
Sorry?
Being able to see is overrated.
Yeah, if you want to see where you're going, don't fly these airplanes.
One more question.
With the Bearcat, you mentioned that it was a collection of parts. Is there enough to build another airplane from it?
There's actually enough there for two more airplanes, or an airplane and a half anyway. But yeah, this project was being built, we were manufacturing parts for another project behind it that will be for sale eventually.
And Sam, I have an answer to your earlier question, at least according to Wikipedia. 13 F8Fs, probably 14, because I don't think yours on there yet.
Okay, that answers that question, I think.
Maybe. If we trust Wikipedia, but we know how good that is.
Oh, I'm worried. Well, thank you folks for coming. We appreciate it, and come back this afternoon at 1 o'clock, and we have another show. I'm wired. I can't get up.